Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to RIP with Jordan Jensen. We're here in the studio. Producers in the back.
Wow.
Harry, the infamous, the notorious, and who?
We have my good friend Chloe Radcliffe.
And who?
And we have on Chloe Radcliffe, who we made an episode with, but we had to delete because
we
it
made
was
two test episodes. We did it twice.
Test episodes.
Sure.
Did we do it twice?
I would say it was. Oh, you're right. It's right there. Yeah, we did it twice. We did two tests.
Test episodes.
I know what you're trying to get to.
Test episodes.
Testicles.
And they were good episodes, but we had to delete them because that was crazy. That was before I had Harry, and I was trying to figure out the audio on my own.
Yeah. I mean, we were just like doing it. There's a reason that they were a test.
And now we're here. But I'm going to get a little rig for my apartment so that I can do it there.
That's nice.
So we can really get cozy.
Like two mics and two cameras?
I don't know. Well, I think one camera, little light.
Or you're just going to make Harry live in the closet.
I would love that.
It's not bad.
Be really nice.
Yeah.
You won't be able to hear from him. So many clothes. I almost got an apartment so that I could just have a room for clothes.
You just have to give them to me.
Am I wearing your underwear right now?
I'm not wearing your underwear right now.
I have so many clothes I need to get rid of.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Let me come over. Let me take some of the clothes. I'm wearing lip gloss that I picked up off the floor of an airport.
Ew. Do you know how
does that count?
How rampant
if you
oral
knew
herpes is? You wiped it off.
Yeah, I wiped it off. Of course I did. I'm not. What? Am I a monster?
It's just crazy that I've met my rodent match.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm wearing
do you still dumpster dive?
Yeah, for sure.
Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. You
it's
have money now.
Hunt.
Yeah, it is the thrill of the hunt.
I love it.
Do you like a big thrift store?
It's fine.
Can I tell you the truth about a thrift store? The second I walk in there, it's like everything I've ever eaten or looked at has to come out of my ass immediately. And I have blown up the bathroom of every thrift store I've been into. Like Salvation Army. Not like little boutique thrift
You're
stores.
You're just saying you get diarrhea in thrift stores
the second
a lot.
I walk in.
But
since
my
I was a kid.
Question, sure. My question, I don't disbelieve that.
Mm-hmm.
My question is
anxiety.
How much diarrhea do you get as a whole? Like, is this a correlation and not a causation?
When we used to do open mics at Pinebach Rock Shop
mm-hmm.
and thrift stores, and I didn't shit in Bradley's house. I went to the Comedy Cellar to sit, but I did have a little panic attack.
Sure.
But it's like when I got back from Europe, I didn't shit once in Europe. That was 3 weeks. I was shitting tiny rabbit pellets.
Well, and that counts as shitting. You were having bad shit.
I was releasing the valve. I was barely.
Sure. I don't discount
I was going like this to the soda. That's it. And it built up and built up. And then I got home and you know what's really sweet? You know how Nelly used to live in my apartment?
Yeah.
So my bowels, for some reason, would release every time I was at Nelly's. Like, I felt home.
Because, and now
I live in her
and
old
now
apartment.
There.
And
That's
now
really
it's
nice.
A great, it's nice.
That's very nice. I took care of a very close friend of mine who's like 45 but had open heart surgery in May.
Gross.
And it was gross.
No.
No, no.
No, it's mine.
Yeah, oh, totally. It's so freaky. And the day that I got, I was supposed to stay in his apartment.
Did you have to crack the sternum?
Oh, yeah. They go,
no.
They take a little.
No. Sawzall. No. No, they don't use a chainsaw.
That's what they. And you're awake the whole time. All right, you ready?
Do they?
Jordan.
Do they crack the sternum?
They use a chainsaw.
Did you ask her?
And they make you have your eyes open and they do give you plastic goggles so the little flecks of bone don't get in your eye. And then they pull your heart out.
Dude, I always faint to the dentist. Okay, so what happened to this friend?
Oh, it was it's literally just a shit story. I was supposed to stay at his place alone while he was staying in this place that he had rented to recover. And what it turned into was I was like, let me move into the second bedroom.
Yeah.
This is out in LA. And I was going to be there for a couple weeks. And I was like, just let me move into the second bedroom of this place that you have rented to recover. And let me, like, be in... You need somebody around. Let me be that person. I also need a place to stay. Convenient. I also need a car to drive, and you are not cleared to drive a car, so let me drive your car.
Nice.
Convenient. But when I landed, I, like, got there, and there were people taking care of him. This was at the recovery place. And I had to shit so bad. And I was like, well, I can't just be like, hey... Hope the anesthesia's wearing off well. Anyway, I'm going to go absolutely ruin the bathroom in this rental recovery house that you...
That's good.
That is not really your place.
It's always in places like that, though. It's always like... Sometimes I find that my diarrhea holds itself in until it knows there's an industrial flusher. Like, it's like, okay,
now you're
at a Salvation Army. Now you're at a
I mean, I think that's
store.
Probably true. I think your body is probably... I think your anxiety, like, releases...
Oh my God, Europe, they have the weakest...
Flushes. Stuart talks about that all the time.
Oh my God, I clogged the toilet in the fucking theater.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pathetic.
And I was like, we have to move green rooms because and the plungers they have are like this. They're like tiny little cups.
But also the flush is smaller, the people are smaller, the shits are smaller. Everything about Europe is smaller.
I think they're dirtier people and they don't use a lot of. You know what I realized? The entire length that I'm peeing, I'm going like this.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I know. I realized that the other day. I was like, and then I was like done peeing and I was like, that was
and then
a
long you just
pee.
Make a little mitten of toilet paper?
Mitten, pull it off, wipe. And it's so much.
Yeah, that's too much toilet paper.
It's crazy.
One time we visited, you know, my parents are like hippies.
Yeah.
And we visited a friend out in like rural hippie Washington. And she had a sign in the bathroom that was one square of toilet paper for a pee and two squares for a poop. Maybe it was three squares for a poop.
Oh, then that means like two squares and your thumb. That's what that means. Two squares and three of your fingers are poop.
Yeah. And better for the earth.
I hate that. I use so much toilet paper for a poop. And you're in Europe, so your poops are weird because you're eating fucking butter raw all day. And then your poops get fucked up. And then you're like, I have to use a lot of toilet paper. And their toilet paper also sucks.
Their toilet paper is weird.
But I wasn't in like fancy places. Oh, yeah, you're dating a man from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to talk about.
I go there all the time.
Is he a... Let me ask you something, because when I was in Europe, and I'm not going to shit on Europe. Everybody keeps getting mad at me for shitting on Europe, okay? I did literally shit on Europe, though. But dating a UK man as a rat...
Wait. How did you clog the toilet if you never shit? I sense
because,
a lie.
Because it was the awful feathery poops. That was the so annoying.
How does that clog a toilet?
Like you have to wipe forever because it's not coming out.
Oh, it's you clogged it with the toilet paper.
I
you
always clog it with your I shit. Wish I could clog with a poop. If I clog a toilet with a poop, I'm leaving there like, oh, somebody get, you know what I mean? It's never satisfying clog. It's never like a poop is stuck in there.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Sitting there being like, I came out of you.
Being like, I'm too big to go down. That would
be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Look at what you made.
That would be nice. No, it's always a pile of toilet paper that's coming up out of the water with little tiny smears of poop, and I can't just pull up my pants and go, what? Even though I know a shower exists.
Do you ever pee?
Yeah, of course.
And then?
Of course.
Yeah.
Brianna recently was like, I think every woman uses their piss to wipe their asshole. And yeah. I was like, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we wipe our vagina and we go, don't mind if I do, and then we wipe our ass. Yeah.
It's like a little wet wipe that you can flush down the toilet rather than the ones that you can't flush down the toilet.
It's really nice.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah, it's convenient. Yeah.
You know who has the
craziest poop
story?
I learned it from another lady.
No. Yeah. How much piss do you have on your...
It just feels like you don't... Like, we have so much more surface area to get the toilet paper wet.
Yeah, it's like a wet sponge that you just wipe through and then wipe your butt.
No. Then you're peeing on your hand. It's just that there's so much, you get so much caught, you know. Think of a waterfall down a rock face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of water on the rock, you know.
And you wipe your vagina, and then you're like, this is wet. I'm not just going to get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste some good wet.
Yeah. You go front to back, right? No, you wipe the front, and then you take it around to the back. Well, you could go, reach around, go from the front. Yeah, but you might.
No, that you can't do, but you could do push. Front,
you could do a push
back. And then reach farther. Yeah.
Push back. No, because then you're in there. You're too deep in there. You might hit the knuckle in the water. You don't know. You know?
Sometimes you do hit the knuckle in the water.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oops.
I blow up the bathroom of the VU because there are all those individual.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
And there's like a little tray where you can put your stuff down and you fucking chill, dude. Yeah. Lock the door, floor to ceiling, no gap. What are we doing? It's the best.
Whether I have shit or not has such an impact, like that day has such an impact on my mood.
Mine is all about the style in which the coffee was made. If it's over the Chemex, I'm shitting everywhere. If I'm making my Chemex, I'm choking down the strongest coffee and then shitting everywhere.
I also sometimes like different kinds of fake sugar if I haven't had it for a long time. Like stevia, the first time that I, but then I get used to it. I develop a tolerance. So like,
dude,
if I haven't had stevia in a long time.
Sugar-free candy?
A stevia thing. Yeah, sugar-free candy. But, like, you develop tolerance. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, because I have tried. I've used it. And, like, the first time, it's insane. And then you get used to it. Your body gets used to it. And then you have to change to a new, like, then it's got to be xylitol or whatever.
Let me tell a little funny story about Chloe.
Oh, no.
Chloe?
Oh, no.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Oh, Chloe? I know what story this is.
Bro, this bitch, first of all.
Is this on the movie set?
Yeah.
Is this what you're talking
first
about?
First of all, let me just say, the movie set, I didn't get the memo that is people just don't eat on movie sets. I had no idea. People weren't eating. The staff was eating. You were not the only one. I was eating.
I was crazy. When we were on set, I would go to Crafty and like get all that fucking candy.
Yeah, but you would fast for so long and then you would binge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd get so, because here's the other thing I'd like to point out. They go, Chloe, come in and get your wardrobe. And she goes, okay, great. They give her a whore's wardrobe. Truly like a cartoon whore.
I would like to point out 60% of the wardrobe was my own.
She is a whore. They go, how do you like this giant, fuzzy, cozy sweater that looks like a jester? And I'm like, fine, okay. Then they give me hoodies. I literally look like shit. And then...
She didn't look like shit.
I look like... And then finally we switched it so that I could bring my own clothes in. But at first it was like, so I was like, oh, I can eat whatever I want. I'm eating all of Chloe's food. I'm coming into her trailer and being like, what's left over? And I'm eating all of that. And I'm ordering double of everything for myself because it's free food.
And I, for the record, had spent the month prior, and this is not because anybody told me to, this was entirely self-motivated, fully starving myself.
Who would have told you to? Oh, the movie? No.
No. Or like my reps. I've told people, I've said like, I starved myself before the movie. And I've had people be like, oh, is it because somebody said to? And I've had to be like, no, nobody ever said you are too heavy. Nobody ever said you should lose some weight. I was like, I would like to lose weight before I am on camera in a movie directed by a famous person.
And it's a thing. It's like a fun chore to give yourself. Also, this crazy thing has happened that I will tell you about, which because of my weight fluctuation since I was 11, I have realized that I can eat so much food and lose weight, and it's the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. I eat so much food. And if it's very specific food, I can just crush. I will eat foods. Yesterday I ate a fillet of salmon this big and hard-boiled eggs.
I don't believe it was that big.
I'm not fucking around. Look at my hands. That's how big it was. That's what I would eat in a day. This big, dude, and coyotes getting the whole skin. A fish, and I'm eating so much of it with just like some vegetable, cauliflower, cabbage, something to eat it with, and then hard-boiled eggs, and then that's it. So it's like a huge amount of food, it feels like.
Yeah.
And avocado, and a full avocado on top of that. And like, I can eat as much of that as I want. If somebody brought in another filet, I could eat that too.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, and I've just been losing weight so steadily by doing this. It's nuts.
Great.
And it's crazy. You can just eat fish if you're a little bear. I am a bear. I've always known I'm a bear. And if I act like a bear, I'm healthy. It's incredible. I have so much energy. It's nuts. I'm going to get mercury poisoning for sure. It's crazy. Anyway, we're on the movie set. And the problem with the starving yourself thing is then you eat. You know what I mean? You just go crazy.
Oh, totally. It's so bad. I mean, I like had 10 days prior to the shoot where I would sit on a couch completely still and my heart would race. Like I was like running as fast as I could.
Yeah.
I looked it up and everything was like, you are low on iron, magnesium, and potassium.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've just absolutely fully starved myself.
But then you would binge. She would binge and then I would at binge. Night and after the shoot. And then she would get, Chloe would get, I don't just, you know, I've done this 1,000 times, but it was just hilarious that it was on a movie shoot. And then she'd be like, okay, I have to get this out of me. I'm too bloated to wear the clothes.
Well, it wasn't even that what was happening.
You weren't pooping because you were anxious.
No, I wasn't pooping because I had so little food inside of my body that my body was not. Like, that's one thing. Now, I've spent the last, like, year, way before I even knew about the movie, trying to, like, fix my, trying to make a better relationship with food, which, I don't know. Part of me is like, I want to walk through a window just saying, like, I'm trying to have a better relationship with food, because it's like the more I pay attention to it, the weightier it feels, the more loaded it feels, the more I notice when I fuck up.
The more your cortisol raises and the more weight you gain.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like, it's the kind of like therapy, like it's going to get worse before it gets better when you start therapy kind of thing. And I just am still in that. And I'm like starting to get to a better place about it where I just, I've had to be like, oh, when you're in a bad place with food, literally the only solution is time. The thing that is going to make this feel better is wait a day. I'm really sorry. You just have to grit your teeth through the next day. Anyway, so I've been spending a long time doing that. And one thing that I've realized now that I've like watched myself go through periods of like restrict and binge or restrict and binge is that when I'm restricting, I do stop shitting. And it's literally just because my body is like, oh, we're not taking anything in, then we're not letting anything go. And so I will go through, like, I know that I'm not eating enough if I'm not pooping every day.
Yeah.
I'm currently having shit in 3 days.
Dude, you have to do what I'm doing. I go to the supermarket and they look at me and they're like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, that whole thing. And they go, you want the whole thing? You don't want me to cut it up? And I go, yeah. And then I go home and I cook it and I eat it.
And that is how I am with red meat. That when I started eating red meat, because I didn't eat red meat until I was 29. I never had a burger, never had a steak in my whole life, was raised by hippies, didn't.
It's so good.
Like, never touched it, thought it smelled bad, didn't have any interest in it, then dated a comedian who would get lamb at the halal carts. And I started having lamb and I was like, oh, this feels different in my body. And it wasn't even like amazing, you know, it's like not even like the highest quality lamb. And then I had half a burger one day during the pandemic and I was full for 8 hours. And I was like, oh, I've never been full before.
Yeah.
I've never felt this before. I've been like stuffed on carbs, but I've never like had, anyway, I just am like, I think my body needs, desperately needs red meat. And that's how, when I started eating red meat, I was like, oh, I can eat as much fucking steak or burger as I want. And I started losing weight. That was my, yeah, that was my equivalent. It's so like fish doesn't do it for me and fat doesn't do it for me. Like I noticed the second I, even if I like have half and half or like heavy cream to like just put a little drips and drags or like kefir. I fucking love kefir. It's my favorite thing in the
Dairy's
world.
Dairy's bad. But can't do dairy. I don't do any dairy.
I don't know. Sour dairy is like my favorite thing. I mean, when
it's the
I,
best thing, but you can't do it. You have to choose. You either eat a full fillet of fish or a giant pound of meat and or no dairy. You have to choose.
Wait.
You can't.
Are you saying, which are you saying?
You can do raw milk, raw cheese, and beef, but you can't have like pasteurized milk and be eating that much red meat. It's too much cholesterol and it's bad for you, I think.
Does pasteurized milk have more cholesterol?
I think it's just bad.
I mean, now you're just,
I'm pretty sure. I'm telling
anyway,
you.
What I will say is when I went, the couple times that I've been to Eastern Europe, not to sound like the most like white girl, like I really connected with, but when I went
to, I get so fat over there.
When I went to Poland and Hungary and Bosnia, I entered all three of those countries and was like, oh, I feel something in my bones.
What was it?
That I have, like I feel like I am from here.
What do they eat?
And then the food was all amazing. And it's all sour dairy. And then there, and like in Hungary and Bosnia, it's like these little sausages and
yeah,
whatever,
but truly
Poland, it's whatever. But like
fermented.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same shit. So now I live in a Polish neighborhood and I can go and buy.
That's good.
A ton of Polish.
I just mean, I was like horking down protein and so much cottage cheese, so much like Greek yogurt. And I was like gaining weight and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I just had to choose between.
I like, for me, I like Greek yogurt and kefir and all that kind of stuff. But I will say like the full fat stuff impacts me immediately, even when I think I'm being restrictive about it.
Yeah.
Whereas red meat, I can like kind of go ham and not be restrictive, and it is the same kind of.
Also, the thing that I do, which makes a difference, is I do weigh myself every single day, which
I haven't weighed myself in 15 years.
It sounds obsessive and horrible.
No. It's data.
It is data, and it really does help because it's like when I got back from Europe, I was like, I feel like I've gained so much weight and I feel awful, and I weighed myself and I hadn't gained weight, and I was like, oh, I just like, my body doesn't feel good because of when, but it is like, it is good to know.
Yeah.
But anyway, drank a bunch of prune juice. No.
All that. Okay. So we're on set and I had not shit for a week. It was the second day of shooting.
I'm trying to be like, eat a bunch of salad. I'm force feeding her. I'm like, eat a bunch of shit. And
I wasn't accepting that it was just because my body was like, we physically don't have enough tissue inside of us to push out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the Morton Williams on the corner and got a gallon of prune juice.
Oh, which is just tale as old as time. You don't. And I was like, Chloe, don't do this. And it just filled her with farts. And she was just farting.
Like crazy.
On set in the bathroom. And would come upstairs and be like, the entire cast just heard me fart for literally.
The entire crew. I don't think like, I
not
think
the cast,
of
the not
cast.
The cast.
No, I was very like,
was awesome.
I am not going to let celebrities hear me fart.
That feeling is so bad. The hollow farts with no poop is
and
so
I will
brutal.
Say that that is the clearest example of above the line versus below the line discrimination that I, a like talent but low level talent, would be like, I am not going to let the talent above me on the call sheet hear my destructive farts, the gaffer, the best boy, absolutely is gonna have to suffer, is gonna have to endure.
It's so awesome.
hearing like Dumb and Dumber level noises come out of the bathroom.
Did you have and it's the tiniest bathroom at the cellar.
It's so bad, it's so little, and I kept being like, I'm so sorry, and I kept going over. They would hold the extras at the Players Theater next door, and I would, and like sometimes I would try and go over there and use that bathroom, but like there just was no, there was no good.
Did you have a release after the movie was done?
I mean, a release as in I ate a lot of candy.
You ate a lot of candy?
You mean like shit?
Yeah, it like after Europe, I shit for like 3 days straight.
That week. I think that first weekend that we went into shooting. I think,
And then the other thing I was going to say is you're a rat person and you're dating a UK person, and I just got back from the UK, and they're all rule followers.
Yes.
Is Stuart a rule follower?
In his bones.
Why do they do like that? And does it cut?
They're so repressed.
They don't cross the street unless it's legal. Yeah. They pay money to use bathrooms. Yeah. Everything is clean.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So is he shocked and appalled at your rodentness, or is it like a beautiful, is it like a manic pixie dream girl kind of thing?
I would say like column A, column B. Okay. Yes, and. I think because he is such a rule follower. It's funny, we just drove from New York to Buffalo, which is like 7 hours, so like realistically 9 hours of the day. Then from Buffalo, we were supposed to go just from Buffalo to Pittsburgh, but we went from Buffalo to Niagara Falls, which is like 40 minutes out of the way, and then to Akron, where they shot Quiet Place, because he wanted to see where he wanted to see that town, which is another 40 minutes out of the way. Whatever. So that was like
he
a 7 hour in the car.
Movie?
Yeah, he loves that movie.
Wait, what is Quiet Place again?
John Krasinski and You Gotta Be Quiet, and they're in a
place. That's the movie he likes a lot.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Have you seen it
with the aliens?
Yeah,
it's not a good movie. What are you nuts, Harry? Am I crazy? Yeah, you haven't seen it because it's not a freaking film. It's like a bad movie. It's like Cloverfield.
No, I think people also like Cloverfield.
What are you talking about? It's a bad. It's like a.
It is like structurally very sound as a movie. Matrix
is my favorite movie, so I can't fully talk. But
I really do like Quiet Place. Anyway, side note.
I know, but I like it. But it's not like something where you're like, I'm gonna go visit where this was. You'd visit like Goodfellas. You'd visit like.
I don't know what to tell you.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah,
well,
but A Quiet Place is like...
He found it interesting. And so it was, and it's like right like, there.
So we, how like, it looks like the Amazon or something?
No, it's just a main street.
I feel like I'm being gaslit. It's psychotic to go view A Quiet Place. That is crazy.
He likes it.
Okay. Is that his favorite movie?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. But he like likes how it was made and likes the story of like how it became to be. Anyway.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's okay to want to visit a place
on the
that
way.
Is just a thing that you like.
Yeah. I guess all their movies are just like a man standing alone with a book. So any American film is probably better than that.
A Room with a View.
Just a man going.
Yeah.
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 Room with a View is a great film. I would visit that.
Haven't seen A Room with a View.
It's great.
What about the Ralph Fiennes movie where he goes to The Constant Gardener? What about that? Have you seen that?
No.
It's incredible. I'd go visit that. Anyway.
It's just like visiting the grave of like, you know.
Like Woodrow Wilson.
Like that cute kid who died from Star Trek. You know? It's like.
Yeah. And don't you think that kid deserves to have his
grave visited? He does.
Don't you think?
He's a human being.
Don't you think Quiet Place deserves to have its town visited?
Yeah. Was it cool?
I mean, it was like fun and cute. And we went to it. To me, it just looked like any other main street. That's the thing is that like I walk around England and I'm like, this is fucking mind blowing that you guys not only just like still have buildings that were erected in 1100 and like now you have a student union in a building that has been around since 1100. Also, they have like social structures in place to caretake all of that history, and they like agree as a collective that history matters and that like collective culture matters and that it's not just about the individual,
not
climbing
one fucking
over every
pickup
other.
Truck though, dude. Not one fucking dog in the back of a fucking pickup
they're
truck.
They're too big. There are pickup trucks out in the rural.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
I just had no freedom.
Okay. It's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. no hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay, okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
But this is, yeah, well, that's the thing. Beautiful. I've also experienced the freedom more because, like, he tours around the country. And so yeah. I've gone on tour with him around England.
I was in London.
I was telling him that, like, it's crazy. So we went New York, Buffalo, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, New York. And that in between Buffalo to Pittsburgh day, which should be short, became a longer day because we visited a couple things. So we basically did 3 like 9-hour days in the car. And I was like, first of all, you get to see so much more of the country because I tour the country. And I get to see so much more of your country because you tour the country than normal, just like New York to London, you know.
Yeah,
New
York to London, love and you get to do stuff.
Relationships would normally just be like 2 cocktail bars that look exactly the same. And you can't tell whether it's in New York or London.
Have you toured in London with him?
Yeah. I've done like shows around England.
Do you like it?
It's fun. Yeah. I think it's like more the same than people say. There's like, sure, there are cultural
differences. London felt the same
as
New York.
Yeah.
Amsterdam was different.
How I was driving, he would constantly be like the fact.
Slamming on invisible brakes?
No, but he constantly would be. He like trusts my driving.
On the opposite side of the road, on the opposite steering wheel.
Yeah. But he constantly would be like, it's crazy that basically like nobody follows any rules or people follow so few rules that everybody's sort of just like, it's every man for themselves.
Here.
Yeah. And like, it's like if you're going in the fast lane, he's like, nobody should ever ride in the fast lane. The fast lane should only be for passing, which a lot of people, right. And a lot of Americans are like, intellectually, I agree with that, but in practice, that's not how anybody actually drives.
I forget I'm in the fast lane all the time.
Right, and
I'm
then
cruising.
you have to pass in the slow lane, and Brits would just like sit behind, would like on principle sit in the fast lane until, and it's like it is your job to get out of the fast lane so that I can then overtake you. Whereas we will overtake from like any direction, wherever we can. We find any opening.
I had trouble with the motorcycle lanes because they're allowed to lane split. It must be legal.
They can lane split here.
No, it's not legal.
In California?
Yeah, in a lot of states.
I don't think it is here.
Not in New York.
Yeah, it's not legal here because I would get in trouble for it. But in there, it's like you're a huge piece of shit if you aren't giving them their own little baby lane. And they'll be like...
Were you driving in London?
Yeah, because I brought Coyote and she wasn't allowed to go anywhere, so I had to rent a car.
Wow.
It was crazy. I had all the paperwork. I just want everybody to know who's fucking shitting on me online, being like, Jordan tried to break all the rules in Europe and she's mad at it. I had every piece of paperwork. I had multiple certificates saying that she's a service dog that were forged. I had so many different carriers that were acceptable for airlines.
I will say.
And they all stopped me for everything, okay? It was psychotic.
I'm on everybody's side who's online.
No, bro. It was insane. She was like 1 kilogram over and I was like, take my backpack. Take my backpack. So my dog's a little chunky, okay? We had a time in Europe. It's a little fat.
She doesn't weigh herself every day. She
doesn't
weigh
herself every day. It was so crazy. And in America, it's like, I'm not going to go off and I don't want to be attacked anymore. But come on. 1 freaking kilogram off. Let her the fuck on the plane. They're like grabbing my poor little puppy and putting her on the scale and she's like naked being like, and they're like, it's not possible. She's too big.
I would just want to go back to she's naked.
She had no harness on because I was getting all the weight off her. So she was just like, it was crazy. Let her on the plane. Take my backpack. I checked all my bags. I just have a dog. Weighs way less than all my bags. So annoying.
Did they let her on eventually?
They let her on after they stuffed her into a bag that weighed 0 pounds that she could not move in. And the second I was on the plane, what did I do? Released her.
I would hate you.
No. You wouldn't hate me because she doesn't do anything bad. She sits under the seat, she curls up, and everybody loves her.
I Look.
Also, the amount of times I was in those fucking airports, just so you know, and a man would walk up and be like, why are you giving this woman a hard time? Done. And I could go through. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I believe that.
How many times that happened.
I totally believe it.
Because I left my passport at one point, and that was my fault. Well, that was because we had to rent the car, and then everything was in the car, and I didn't have my passport. It was fucked up. And a guy walked up and was like, no problem. You have your ID? Absolutely not. And I had waited an hour with these cunts who were like, it's not possible. And then a guy showed up and was like, we let people do this all the time. What are you doing? And they're like, we don't like her. She's American. And I was like, and then I started leaning into that I was American.
I will say, that's a move. I can imagine.
What can you imagine?
How do you interact with these customer service people?
I was being, dude, Megan and Jake were like, bro, I could see your neck getting red and you were keeping your cool. I'd be like, hey, here's the deal. I have a sold out show tonight. Okay. I have all of these health certificates. She has every single thing you guys have required of me. My vet has stamped all of these things. I have multiple carriers here and she's a service animal. And they're like, you have to put her under the airplane. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. You're not putting my dog under the airplane. It's so traumatizing for them and they can die. It's so fucked up. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Let me on the fucking plane. And then they go, you have to, no. So then I rented a car driving like a crazy person on the Autobahn. Never have driven a car on the opposite side. Almost killing
Autobahn
many
people. Is the normal side of the road for what it's worth.
Well, I was driving really fast on it. It was crazy.
I'm just saying you.
I shouldn't have brought the dog. I know that.
No. That's not even what I was saying. I'm saying
I was really respectful.
You are an unreliable narrator.
I'm telling you, Jake and Megan, I kept my cool because here's the deal. I had to get to the shows to make
totally.
My money.
Of course.
I knew that being nice. At one point, I just had to go like this while they kept saying no, and I just put my head down because I was about to fucking scream. And then we would get outside, and I would just beat the shit out of a trash can or anything to get it out, but I didn't take it out on them.
Yeah.
I did get into a fight with a cop 2 days ago.
Here.
Yeah.
In the States.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Where they have guns.
She didn't have a gun. She had acrylic nails, and she was a dumb cunt. Crazy. Okay.
My boyfriend does think it's cool that I break rules.
Really?
Yeah. He so stays within, like, social bounds. And now I will say that, like, it's not like he never breaks rules. Let me start over. He so stays within social bounds that it's like, he likes the drama. He likes the excitement.
Yeah.
Also, there are a lot of times where it's very annoying to him, for sure. But the first time that I saw him, you know how in airplanes, they say you have to put your, like when you're landing, you have to put the tray table up. But then after a couple minutes later, they come through and they're like, we're going to need you to put your laptops away.
Yeah. He wanted the laptop away.
They came through. No. They came through. They said, put your laptop away. He said, okay. He closed it. He put it in the, like, pocket. And then the second they were down the aisle, he opened it back up and put it on his lap and, like, worked for the rest of the flight. And I was, like,
So aroused.
I was like, I never thought that I would see you.
Wait, isn't that legal?
Break a rule like that. I mean, it's, like, fine.
Oh, it's because they were out of sight.
And I asked him, I was like, but this is a rule and you're breaking it. And he was like, yeah, but the rule doesn't make sense.
Oh, that's good. Okay, I like the logic. Yeah. That is good.
Yeah.
It's disgusting when they stick to the illogical. That's huge that he doesn't do that.
And a lot of Brits do that. A lot of Brits will, like, follow rules.
Dude, we were going into the bathroom and they had the turnstile and I didn't have any money on me, so I just went under it and there was, like, a line of people because the turnstile thing was broken. It was broken.
No, you're now telling two different stories.
No, because
this is what I mean, Jordan.
I'll tell you, you were saying I didn't have any money on me,
but then you said the turnstile was broken.
Those are two different reasons that you
can't get through the turnstile.
Because the only way you could get through the turnstile typically is you can use tap to pay, correct?
Okay.
Okay. But this one said, our shit is broken. We need cash.
Okay.
So you had to put in a euro.
Yeah.
I had no euro. I had tap, happy to tap. Their thing is broken. I'm going under. And everybody was appalled.
Did anybody say anything to you?
No. But they were shocked. They were like, oh. Dude, yesterday I was getting out of a cab and I did a really bad thing and I had to jump out. I was late for my spot and I opened the cab door in front of a guy on a bike, right?
Knowing that you were about to do it?
A bodega guy.
Yeah.
Right? And I looked and it wasn't that close and I opened it and he was a safe distance away and he came up to me and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. And then he just stares at me and he's like, oh. And I got out of the car, slammed the door and was like screaming And like, I was in front of the seller. Like, people were like, knew who I was. And I was literally being like, I fucking said I'm sorry, you fucking piece of shit. And I lost. There was something about me apologizing and him still being, dude, I got to get my act together. But also, what are you, he just sat there. Looking, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I just like had to jump out. And he was just like looking me up at that. And then I just turned.
And you, this.
I'll give you a threshold. I'll give you a threshold. But if you abuse my apology.
Well, so this is the
thing. Oh, if you abuse my apology.
So this is the thing. I'm like, I, as a person who bikes everywhere in the city. Abuse. If somebody apologized, if like taking this story at face value, like opening the door, me being like close enough to be annoyed, but then the person apologizing, I would be like.
This is an act out. I went like this. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, man. That's what I did. I went, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And like put my hand in front of him being like, I totally, you know how I am with biking. I'm always worried about your biking. Died biking. I'm always worried about it. And I always try and open it like with this arm so it doesn't open that much. And this time I was just, I had to run and I apologized. And he milked the apology. If you milk the apology, you deserve to be shot, okay? Do not milk an apology, you fucking asshole.
I always debate whether... Because I will like,
that is,
I scream at people on my bike. I love letting out my aggression on my bike.
Yeah.
And I always wonder what, and my intention.
Even though you're the most toxic person to bike with, you will literally go through a green light. And I was like,
this is why I never want to ride with anybody.
You should never ride with anybody.
I never.
I rode with you one time and I almost died 9 times.
Because I thought you were a biker.
I was a biker, but I was trusting you as like the super biker. And then you would go and you wait for each other and you'd be like, no, I can make it. And you can't, fuck you. And I'd be like, oh, I can make it.
No, I feel like I did that once. When I ride with somebody, the reason that I don't ride with anybody is because I'm like.
You're in the zone. You're in the flow state.
But I can't get in the flow state with somebody else because
totally
I'm
agree.
Constantly thinking about them. I'm constantly like, I could make this red light. But because I thought that you would keep up.
I was scared. And you had like a mountain bike.
No.
Yeah, you had that big ass bike.
You've
always had
a
strong bike.
I've always had a good bike.
No, you had big wheels.
No, I've always had a hybrid. I can show
big
you pictures
wheels.
Of every.
Pink one or the purpley one?
I've never, the dark purple had thin little hybrid wheels. Not road wheels, but not mountain bike wheels.
It was a strong bike.
It was a
strong frame. Not a thin little road frame.
It was steel. It's a hybrid. It's a
strong.
Yeah. It was a giant, it was a 90s giant touring frame. I named that bike Lightning.
It was, wasn't it?
Giant the brand, not giant like huge.
Yeah. Literally called Giant.
It's a great.
Anyway,
great bike.
So you haven't cheated on Stuart yet. That's pretty good.
Mm-mm, it's good.
Chloe's a serial cheater. She cheats on everybody she's ever been with except for Stuart.
Not everybody, but most people. And I do have a solo show about it. And if this is out before December 12th.
This is the crazy thing that breaks through. This is how we know that races can come together. That people who hate each other can come together. Because we have a serial monogamist who can't cheat with crippling OCD, who has been cheated on and forgiven for it, who will watch somebody... Fuck another woman's vagina and forgive them, and a serial whore.
I mean, I take issue with the serial whore.
Oh, sorry, I apologize.
Label.
And a serial life ruiner.
I don't take issue with that. I do have a solo show about it that you have seen.
It's so good. The thing is, you want to not like it because you're somebody who's been cheated on, and you're watching the show, and you're being like. I fucking hate that you keep cheating on people, but by the end of it, you're like, you don't hate you.
Right. And that's crazy. That's the whole point of the show. Like, the show does not condone cheating. It is not, I think cheating is always bad. I think cheating always hurts somebody. I think a healthy relationship does not involve cheating. And I think cheating happens all the fucking time, and nobody wants to stick a microphone in front of their face and admit that they did it. And a lot of people will say that they have been cheated on, but nobody will be like, and I'm the one who did it.
Yeah.
And I just happen to be the one who's willing to do it. Anyway, I'm doing it at Ars Nova in New York City on December 12th. You should come.
Ars Nova, December 12th.
Yeah, Ars, not RS, Ars.
Ars.
Nova.
Nova.
December
in New York.
12th in New York City. Yeah.
You should go. It's really good. You'll cry. You'll laugh really hard. It's very funny. It's very good.
Yeah. Come.
I just think you have too big of a brain and it makes you amoral.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I think I like overthink everything and I can rationalize anything. I can justify anything.
Yeah, it's very Nietzschean.
But I think that is what happens. Like, I think that the world that we live in, I don't mean like all comedians cheat, although probably most comedians cheat.
They do.
But I think that like when you get
to brains like ours, like we're just like saturated. We're in a world where everybody overthinks everything all the time and everybody can rationalize everything all the time.
Also, my shit is almost more toxic. Like you'll just like, I mean, you do this also, but like I will have the most romantic relationships with 9 of my guy friends where I am like, they know everything about me and I'm so dependent on them and we're so close. And it is in a way that if any of my partners ever did, I would be so incredibly jealous. But I know touchy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's also toxic.
Yeah. I mean, it's only toxic if your partners are uncomfortable with it.
It's toxic when you're getting what you need, when you're not able to like say your needs to your partner and you're getting it from somebody else. If you're being totally. Like, my boyfriend sucks so bad and you understand me so well.
Totally.
That's toxic.
That is toxic. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
I have done that before SLAA so much.
Yeah.
Now it's not, now there's none of that. I used to, yeah, like responding to DMs or checking or just like being like avoiding saying that I'm in a relationship so that I seem available, you know.
I mean, I've done that a million times. And
we have
funny,
to do it on stage. You actually do have to do it a lot on stage.
You have to do it a lot on stage, but you don't have to, I don't think what you were referring to was on stage.
No.
I think like, yeah, it's like when you meet somebody, I mean, this is why I'm so fascinated to talk about this stuff all the time, because so many people are like, I've never cheated. And then they're like, I definitely have met someone and like not talked at all about the fact that I am in a relationship, because it would burst, it would pop the bubble of like the romantic tension that we have, of this chemistry that we're building. And that is not cheating. That is 100% not cheating. But that to like, now we're at the cocktail bar and I haven't talked about my boyfriend and now we're doing like little elbow touches, not leg touches, not holding hands.
I'll kill myself.
But like little stuff about like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. You know, like whatever, that shit. It's like, okay, that's also not cheating. But my boyfriend would start to feel really, like he would not love to watch that. And then that's just like, the next step is like, our hands are brushing as we're picking up a drink or whatever. And like, still not cheating. Then the next step is like we're talking and our faces are just like really close. And it's like it's starting to be like I just think that what counts.
I thought I saw an old couple like super in love the other day and they were talking so close and I was like, love exists at like 90. And then I heard one of them go, what? And they were talking close because they were fully deaf. They're like, what the fuck are you saying?
That's great. Yeah, I think that like everybody hits the wall of there is a social expectation that I am about to cross and I am going to justify it. Speaking of justification, like I'm going to justify it in some way.
Yeah. The ex that we both know of.
My ex.
Yeah. Used to just like be like, I hate you and you're stupid and dumb and I wish that you were dead. And then would like go to a movie and dinner with a female friend and be like, this is why I hate you, because you get jealous. And I'm like, I'm literally jealous that I can't go on a date ever. I can't go on a date with you. I can't get to go on a date with other people. And you get to have these dates. And then I'm the problem for being a little upset about the fun time you had that I never get to have.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I don't think that relationship is a, like, can be a litmus test for like a
social
dynamic.
No, but what I
mean
is like, he was like the most moral, never cheat guy. And it's like, well, cheating can also be like, I refuse to spend time with my partner, but I spend all my time. I mean, it's not cheating, but it's like.
Right. It's like, it's not cheating, but it is, it's, I don't know, man. I think that so many people are so much more interested in telling a story about the harmful things that have happened to them than ever taking.
Yeah.
Responsibility.
When you do SLA, you have to make all these amends, and it's crazy how many amends end up being like, I totally led you to believe that there was a possibility with me because I wanted to shore up all of my options around me, and it was super manipulative, and I used you as like a fucking tool.
Yeah.
And it's so brutal, but you have to say it, and they're like, yeah.
It's awful. Oh, it's so bad.
Amends never are as satisfying as I thought they would be. I thought it would be like, You are great.
You thought that they would, that the person you're apologizing to would then say you're great. Wow.
I thought they would be
I mean,
like, thank you for
this. That's the thought process of a psycho, of a
Well, you think you'll get to a common place. Like, you think that they'll be like, wow, it means a lot to me that you apologize. And a lot of times they're like, and another thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be, like, my first two amends were like that, where I was like, oh, shit. And then the ones after that, I was like, here, you have to be ready for it to be a tidal wave of them to unleash on you. Because the first two, you're like, hi, I just wanted to say.
Well, it's because, like, you've reached a place of peace. But also, that's the, I guess to me, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. The fact that you are at the stage of having to make amends in the first place means that you haven't gotten far enough in, like, deep, deep empathy for the other person to think about how they, like, to think about what they experienced and how they felt. Like, chances are good that you are still only admitting part of your own behavior to yourself. And chances are good that you are still taking the easiest way out at the amends stage or at the beginning of the amends stage. Yeah. Chances are good that you are still, like, not touching the actual nuclear core of whatever you did.
Yeah.
Chances are good that you are still just being like, and I kissed somebody while we were dating, and I have practiced that one sentence.
Yeah.
I have, like, blocked out everything else, but I can say that one sentence and then back to numb.
Yeah.
And then, but the other person doesn't know, and they're just like, oh, we're talking about it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it. Also, a huge amount of it, like, you don't even realize the impact that you made, or you don't even realize the broader context, like...
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is not an amends example, but, like, Stuart was opening for me this weekend, and I was like, I had an audition to finish, like, 10 minutes before the show started. And I still had, like, two people before, you know, it's like, okay, I have 40 minutes before I go on stage. But, like, I hadn't changed. I was in driving clothes. I hadn't put on makeup. I was submitting this audition. I hadn't, like, figured out my set, what I wanted to work on that night, whatever. And he tried to show me something that was, like, funny but confusing. And I was dismissive.
Funny but confusing is a real thing.
And I was like, I like, tried to figure out what was going on. And I was like, do I need to comprehend what is going on right now? And he was really frustrated by me reacting like that. And later we talked about it, and he was like, I don't know, you seemed like me showing you that was a distraction and, like, you didn't want to deal with it. And I was like, yeah. Exactly. But it turns out that it was, like, part of a broader pattern of me being dismissive of him in those kind of work environments. And, like, that I'm not clocking. Mm-hmm. I'm not clocking that bigger pattern. I'm prepared to be like, I'm sorry I was short about that funny but confusing thing you showed me, where I still feel like secretly I'm in the right. But like, I'm not seeing everything else that's going on, or I'm not tracking everything.
I don't think I even saw the full scope of the shit that I did when I did amends. I think it took the, like, living, the, like, afterwards doing shit and being like, ah, that wasn't right, and having to follow up and be like, hey, I'm sorry that I just did that.
Yeah.
But like, but I think they want you to get to a point where you like recognize how bad it is. But like, people have made amends to me.
And where you can see
me.
It in the moment, where like, as you're about to do something, then you can be like,
or you do it and you go, hey, whoa, I recognize that that's something. But I think when you're, like, I've had people make amends to me and it had it be like, felt so shitty. And I'm like, how have you gone through all these steps and your amends feels like dog shit? And I think that, I
mean like they're giving a bad apology.
Yeah,
like an incomplete,
where I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, one guy gave me amends and he was basically like, it was almost like I should have preyed on somebody else, not you. You
were Jesus the right Christ.
It was like that. It was kind of like that. And I was like, because you're too sensitive. It was kind of like that.
Do I know the person?
Of course.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very much like it was almost like I thought you could handle it.
And that, you know what's funny? If it's the person that I'm thinking of,
yeah.
This is a person who the second I was around them, I was like,
bad.
Predator.
Yeah, yeah.
This person is a predator. Well, and it's funny that that person would use the term prey.
Yeah. Totally. And it felt that way. And then I think what happens is as you move through the rest of the steps, you start to realize it. And I think I would say that going back and
reamending,
I think is a good thing. And I think some people, like alcoholics, I think it's so... I mean, I don't know, but I think being able to be like, I stole money from you. I was dishonest. But love addiction, you're like.
It's so much more manipulative.
It's so manipulative. And it's so.
It's less tangible.
You think you're being good and you have no idea if you're being bad. And then you realize later that what did have ill intent. Like the amount of things I've realized where I'm just like, ew, dude, that was like. Going back to like fifth grade, I'm like trying to like weasel these little waves of validation and making somebody feel bad so that I feel good, which is fine. I'm a fifth grader.
Oh.
But it's like you don't fully know.
Well, also the harm is like it's less tangible, but it's so much deeper. And it's not that like stealing money or crashing a car or like hurting somebody physically can't also cause very, very, very deep harm. But like the, you know, manipulation of desire and of someone's own sense of self and of self-worth or manipulation in a romantic context can and usually does directly reflect onto the other person's sense of self-worth. And it's because your own sense of self-worth is fucked.
Yeah.
It's your own, like, I am not worthy of love. And so I am going to pick someone else who I think is not worthy of love and I'm going to make them feel less than.
Yeah.
Even through the process of making them feel desired,
especially
it's
like
such a twisted, but like basically I'm saying like it's like you are like drilling into the core of somebody's own like sense of their own value,
yeah,
in what you're usually doing in love addictions.
Yeah. And like even like attachment styles, like I've been doing so much reading about avoidant versus anxious just because I'm so tired of being an anxiously attached person. And like avoidants do a thing where like they'll look at you and they'll be like, this is how they'll be like, we're talking and you feel this way about me and we're talking and everything's good and we're connected. And if you mirror that to an avoidant, like if you're like, all right, they'll be like, whoa, weird. Like they will be like in the moment, they'll be like, oh, actually it's like you're too much, even though you're doing an identical thing, right? So it's like, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, am I too much? You know what I mean? So it's like you have to like figure out all of these ways in which your like patterns are susceptible to just basically making somebody else feel like shit. You know what I mean? Like even as an anxious person being like, for me, it's like, I don't think you love me very much. That's manipulation.
Yeah,
it
of
is
course
manipulative.
It is. Of course
awful.
It is. Of course it is.
And
you learn how to get what you want.
Right. And it is hard. And it feels like it's like this very active thing where you have to be like, it's not even that hard. What you have to do is you have to just name the thing that is actually going on. Like you have to be like, the same thing as being like, I am hungry. You have to be like, I am feeling super insecure right now.
Yeah.
I don't need you to validate me. I need you to know how I feel.
And what it really comes down to, I mean, like, this is, for me, it all comes down to self-worth. Like, it comes down to having the confidence, the ability to say, I'm feeling insecure right now. This conversation is making me feel very exposed. And, you know, it's also making me feel like, it's just yet another thing I'm fucking up on top of, you know, career shit that I'm fucking up or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, to be able to say that requires a degree of confidence.
Right.
That, like, I'm going to be safe after I say this. I'm going to be okay after I say this. If I name this, because I think most of the time people are like, if I don't name it, then it's not true. And it requires the degree of confidence to be like, no, it is true. It's true whether or not I say it. And saying it is going to feel better, which is sort of like why that to me is like the entire thing of why I do my solo show, because it's like it's going to feel better to say it. It's going to feel better to have it out in the open. It's going to feel better to bloodlet. It's going to feel better to be honest. And it's crazy that like I have now come to the conclusion of like better to be honest, given that what I did was cheat a lot.
Have you talked to any of your exes about it? They haven't said anything about the show. Wow. And then do you have, because of all this cheat stuff, does Stuart get insecure that something will happen?
He asks me probably once a month. He's like, are you cheating on me?
Nice.
And I get to go, nope.
Do you?
And I love it.
Are you honest when you start, in SLA, it's called intriguing with somebody?
Yeah, we call it pressing the button.
Okay.
So that's our like little term for like, did you press the button with anybody tonight or at that party or on this festival weekend or whatever? And it like feels
And you have to be like, yeah, I pressed. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And then what happens? No fight?
No. So much better. Feels awful to say.
You're like.
Feels awful to hear. Both of us are like, I'll kill him. But, or I'll kill her, whatever. But no, so much better. So much better.
How often do you have to ask about it? Like every event or every party or everything?
Our goal is to not have the other person have to ask, to have the person who didn't. Be like, and I had a little flirt. I had a little flirt.
And it doesn't lead to anger. It just is like,
no.
Oh, no. Interesting.
No.
I think I would burn the house down.
I had a couple. I mean, like, for sure there were one or two women where he's been like, and we had a little chemistry. And for
don't say chemistry. Can we have a not that?
And for a few months, I was like, I fucking hate her. And now all of those women are like still in his or our lives, and now I'm totally fine with all of them. Just like took a little time.
Okay. And do you have? And does it get rid of your compulsion to cheat? To be able to say it?
No. What gives rid of the compulsion to cheat is, the fact that I don't have to hide when I have chemistry with somebody. Means that then I can like genuinely, earnestly explore getting to know that person. And every single time I get to a point where I'm like, oh,
yeah,
you're so annoying and my boyfriend is amazing.
Yeah, that's good.
Every single time.
But what if it got to a point where you wanted to?
Don't know.
You can't.
You
have no open thing. There's no, you're not.
I'm not at the point in my life where that is of interest.
Yeah.
Stuart and I have both been like, I don't know, at some point maybe.
Yeah.
Like it feels like a non-zero chance, but like it's not, we're not like, and at some point we'll, it's like very much not in the plans.
I think that I have to push back a little here because I think that say you're like flirting with somebody and you're like, I'm going to see where this rabbit hole goes. And then you're like, you find out they're a really cool person. I think the fact that you can tell Stuart, like you can be like, I flirted with somebody. I think it makes it so that the end of the line has been, like you've almost seen it to the end of the line. Because I think before you couldn't
exactly,
tell
that's
them.
What I'm saying.
Right. But I think even, say it was like the most amazing dude ever. I think you'd be like, and you can just be an amazing guy. I don't have to keep worming into this because
I think it's like the same, like two strands in the same braid.
Yeah.
Like on one hand, maybe I get to know them and then I'm like, oh, I don't actually want to be with you. Totally.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, basically what it does is it like, it pops the balloon of the fantasy.
Yeah. Totally.
In either case, whether they're amazing or whether they're, not amazing. I mean, like, first of all, I don't think like the people who I've had chemistry with are, I don't think they're like, they don't suck, you know?
Yeah, right.
But like, even if they're a person who I might, so far it's, I don't know if this has happened, I don't know, 10 times, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not, I have no idea. And so far every single time I've been like, and I don't actually want to be in a relationship with you. But the thing that sustains that is that like the fantasy, the balloon of the fantasy.
Right. The other thing is you don't have with exes, you haven't had the connection that you've had with Stuart because you haven't been able to be honest about who you are. So now if your relationship with Stuart with other men weighed this much, the fantasy weighed so much more, whereas Stuart, it weighs so much more. So the
fantasy it doesn't weighs compare less, so it's like, at all. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're like,
we're like fixing both directions.
Yeah, you're like, I could cheat on my boyfriend with you, and because I barely even know that guy because he doesn't even fully know who I am.
Right, right.
Or I could cheat. Or
I've been
could
in so many
dude.
Relationships where I'm like, I wish my boyfriend would cheat on me.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Then
we would know each other.
At the deepest level, probably that. But like, also, like, I wouldn't even have to be mad. I would just be like, that's kind of fine. Can I go fuck somebody else too? Or we would break up and then I would be happy.
Yeah.
Because I never broke up with somebody when I should have.
Yeah,
I would stay and stay and stay and stay and stay because I thought that it was like the way that a relationship works is you put in the work. And I thought that that meant like it's going to feel bad and hard, but you just sort of like grit your teeth and get through it. And now it's like, oh, that's not, it doesn't have to be that. It's not like relationships are like, I think now in this relationship, I understand the idea of like put in a lot of work for a relationship.
I also don't think, I think you had to wait and be with somebody who's secure, because I think when you were with anxious people before, they would be like almost like with the one before Stuart, I remember the feeling was like, I am such a good guy for allowing you to be the fucked up person that you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I hate myself enough
to let you do this. Yeah.
Whereas with Stuart, it's like, oh, that's who you are. This is who I am. Let's find a compromise.
Because he's like, I just want all of the data possible. He's like, I just hate feeling like something's going on that I don't know.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I'm like, I hate feeling lied to. And again, I understand the irony of me saying this as somebody who has like withheld data from partners a million times. But
yeah,
I agree. And it's just that most people, I've gone into so many relationships being like, can we be open? Can we be honest? Can we like have open communication? Can we really talk about this kind of stuff? And everybody, this is the thing. Now that like open, honest communication has become like popularized as an idea, no one will ever say no to that idea. Everybody is always going to pledge that like they're down to be honest and they're down for like clear channels of communication all the time.
Yeah.
And like, let's have check-ins and let's talk about our feelings. But the amount of people who are actually willing to put the money where their mouth is so minimal. Well,
the amount of people who are actually willing to say how they truly feel, which might not make them look good.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody can
hear how somebody else feels, even if it is not what they want, because they think that's going to hurt them. Actually, it is so much more helpful. Don't you want to know if somebody doesn't really like you? Don't you want to know? Like,
well, there's that whole narrative-based thing where it's like my narrative aligns with me being a super open and communicative person. But if you interrupt my narrative by saying that I'm not the most desirable person in your life, I'm no longer communicative. Where it's like, if you're actually open, it's like I don't get to subscribe to my own narrative forever. You can change. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, I am not a protagonist in a film that I get to play the most attractive character.
Totally. Oh, of course.
And I think that
they don't want to be honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be honest with myself. None of us want to be honest with ourselves. Like, I don't mean to sit here on a like perfect pedestal of I am blameless.
Yeah.
I just think about this shit all the fucking time and have done now multiple years of like self-excavation about it. But where it's like, yeah, you have to first, it's the be honest about like, this conversation makes me feel really insecure thing. Mm-hmm. You have to first just say the thing that is going on inside of you.
Yeah, I was, last time we did a solo pod, right, I was like super aggro about everything and I was getting so mad at everything and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then it all of a sudden dawned on me that I was preparing for another cycle with my ex. I was totally ready for the cycle to begin. It had been the right amount of time. The holidays were coming and I was like, it's going to happen again. I'm with my best friend being like, it's not happening again. And I like felt this weird,
because you're lying to yourself.
And I was lying to myself. Yeah. And then I finally faced the truth. And I was like, this is what I think is going to happen. And then once that bubble was burst, I like, it felt like the clouds opened up and I could let so many friendships in and so much light in, and all of my cortisol went down. And
wait,
I was
the
like,
bubble was burst of?
The bubble was burst because I admitted
it. Doing the cycle
it.
Again?
No. I admitted it. I was like, I think I am waiting
for
this.
He admitted it.
I admitted it. Yeah. And then I was like, this is not, it's not going to happen. And I admit that that's what I was preparing myself for. And then as soon as I recognized that that was so and that that had to stop, it was crazy. But I like, it had been months of me being like, never again, never again.
Okay. It's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
I mean, preparing. Everyone around you has heard the never again.
I've paid you
so many times.
I've paid you $100 for every time I made contact.
Not ever. No, she's Venmo'd me once, but you have Venmo'd me once.
Yeah.
I wish that you had Venmo'd me 100 times
You'd
for every
so,
time you would make
so
contact. I would be
Tom
so
Segura said
fucking
if I go
loaded.
1 year, he's buying me a really nice watch.
I mean, that's a crazy motivation. You want a watch?
A nice, what? Yes. A nice one?
Ask for a car.
No, it was a watch is the, you know, it's a tasteful amount. He let me wear one the other day and I was like, he was like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. And I had to admit that that's what was going on. Cause I'm.
Get the watch and sell it.
No way. It's my 1 year sober chip token. Yeah, and it's, I also, what time is it? Time to keep going. That's the time. But I also, yeah, and I had to admit that, and I had to come clean to, like, my therapist and be like, yeah, I'm totally waiting to start this thing up, and it's going to be so bad because it's happened so many times, and that is what I want to happen. And as soon as I said that, I was like, oh, I don't want that to happen, and that's why I've been feeling so bad, because I actually don't want it at all. But I had to admit that that's what I was preparing
myself.
You
want it in some way and you don't want it in the other. And
yeah.
And that conflict itself is painful. And also you like feel so fucking stupid for wanting a thing that you know is bad.
Totally.
I mean, this is the relationship that I was in before my current boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had almost a year of that, like on off.
Yeah.
Which frankly pales in comparison to yours. But
thank you so much.
I know the feeling of being like, nope, I am putting down a boundary, and then like there's a little hole in you, but it's like a pretty big hole that's like
yeah. I know. And it's also like it's not even like I'm not even remotely at the place anymore where I'm like he's bad for I'm good. It's very much a place of like, and it's not even like us together it's bad. It's like this fucking cycle is drugs to me. It's literally, yeah. I get to create
We've
this
been saying
thing.
This for so long.
I know. But it's like my desire. Yeah. It's not like I'm like, I want to go back into this because I think it'll work. Because then that would mean taking time to actually heal and whatever. It's like, I want to start it back up so that I can feel
high.
Yeah, the validation again.
Of course.
Even though I know it will be bad. It's not like there's even a hope. Where I'm like, maybe if we cycle this time, it'll work. I know it won't. It's like, no, I'm ready to do the roller coaster again, even though I threw up.
Yeah, because when you're at the top, it feels so good.
Yeah.
And when you come down, you throw up.
It feels so good also knowing that it will, that it can't last. Because I inherently,
there's a safety
knowing that it will end. Because that means that I don't have to be married, which scares the shit out of me. Or being in a long-term relationship scares the shit out of me. And I know that it will be this thing that will feel important, even though it's not, mm-hmm. and will destroy my life and make it back up again. But it's not. I just want to say it. I don't feel like it's like this evil thing that is him coming back. And I don't feel like that. I feel like this cycle is a super bad thing. And I feel like it's two people addicted to a cycle that keep doing it and getting back together and trying the heroin again. I don't think that it's like, I just feel like there's a problem when people talk about anxious avoidance where the avoidant gets this like horrible rap. I do think it's both people.
Oh, that's funny. And as an avoidant, I really thought you were about to be like, when people talk about anxious avoidance, the anxious gets the bad rap.
No, I feel like avoidants get shit on hard because.
Avoidants just get shit on hard by
anxious
who are louder.
Yeah.
The whole fucking point is that avoidants are like, what do we care?
Yeah.
Avoidants, I would say, shit on anxious. Like, we just aren't on Twitter.
A lack of empathy they found in the brains of avoidants. But that doesn't matter. You
know, avoidant. Anxious, who are you are louder. You're just, it's just like I think.
Yeah, but you don't like animals very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avoidance, anxious or bad, but you guys are lacking a little thing in your brain.
Wow. Oh, nary 30 seconds ago, you were like,
you got a little
I don't
want to
shit on me.
You got a little too. You agreed a little too hard. Okay. There is a little empathy thing. Which doesn't make sense.
No, I think there's a codependence thing with anxious. I think the way that you are obsessed with your dog is like it is reflective of an anxious attachment style.
I also think you're a bad example because I do think actually you're not a bad example. And because there is an empathy thing, the dog in the dumpster.
What?
I showed you the dog in the dumpster.
What dog in the dumpster?
There was a exactly. Harry, do you remember the dog in the dumpster? Yes, you do.
What dog in the dumpster?
There was a picture of a dog in a dumpster that my friend found.
A dead dog or an alive dog?
It was an alive dog, and it had a little scar on its mouth where it had been tied up. And you and my ex both responded like this. I don't feel anything. Both of you.
I think I probably was
me
like...
Me and Harry cried.
Yeah, I wouldn't cry.
And he's secure.
I would be like, yeah, that's very sad. Somebody take care of that dog. I can't do anything right now. I'm looking at a picture. What do you want me to do?
There's something wrong with us. Sure. There's definitely an over-empathizing.
I've never done anything wrong in my life, so.
There's a little over-empathizing with us. We definitely feel like there's an adaptability with avoidance where we think that we can become whatever somebody needs us to become in order to get them to need us forever. Every time somebody falls, we're the first one to be like, I'll help you up. You owe me your life, for sure.
Yeah.
But
hence,
avoidance are lacking a little
bit. A picture of a dog in a dumpster that
you don't
know.
I'm not going to let an avoidant watch my dog.
Sure.
Okay.
Fine.
So... I'll let the audience decide if you'd prefer to be anxious with a heart or avoidant with a backbone.
With a brain.
Yeah.
With a backbone.
Do you want a backbone or a heart? I have no backbone.
Yeah. And I...
It had a little thing around its mouth where it was tied up.
It's very sad.
You literally...
I don't.
You know what your exact words were? I'm actually working on a bit right now about how I don't really care about animals.
No, I know exactly what bit I was talking about and I've never gone back to it.
Good.
And the bit is that anybody who cares more about animal welfare than human welfare drives me nuts.
Yeah,
that was a bit written because
me and you got into an argument where I was like,
that is the bit. The bit is like, it's like when, I've never said this on stage because I'm so scared that it's so unlikable. But the idea of people being like, chickens are in cages right now. And I'm like, who gives a shit?
Avoidants feel that way.
Who gives a shit? There are people in cages. Like, who cares?
Because
who cares about the fucking chicken?
Nobody should be in cages.
Yeah.
It's because of the innocence of, it's like when somebody takes.
I understand that. No, I totally understand that, like, the idea is that animals, that, like, the people who are in some kind of bad situation have taken much more conscious and like socialized choices to put themselves in those positions, and the animals are in those positions because we have done that. I completely
understand. Well, even
there's
kids in cages, so it's more so like the species of humans is inherently bad and the species of animals just like is inherently good. That's the dichotomy.
I know, and that's the problem. To me, it's like even if you don't want to care about like adults who are homeless.
Yeah.
Or in prison or whatever. Yeah. But like homelessness is the thing that makes me feel crazy.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk about the adults, like yeah, there are kids in cages and they didn't do any more to deserve it than the chickens that are in cages.
I think the idea is, yeah, humans are all bad. Of course we ended up putting kids in cages. But you know who's not bad and who could roam the earth without killing each other? You know, I think I get that's, huh? It's agency.
Right,
yeah,
but the counter argument, the very direct, obvious counter argument is kids don't have agency.
Right.
So then at least direct your attention to the kids because it's like hairy. Because it's like if the kids, the reason that animals are subjugated in the way they are is because inherently they're, I'm about to say something.
They're stupid. Chickens are pretty stupid.
Like they are less. Yeah, they are mildly less fully. I don't know. It's not. They're
Can
not,
you say something at some point? AI is going to feel the same way about you. Who cares that there's kitchen?
I don't think,
in cages.
I don't think that
AI is going to be like, who cares?
I don't think I'm not worried about AI with that.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. You'll be dead, but at some point there'll be AI who's like, fuck, they're fucking farm animals. We use their blood to cool down our servers.
Yeah, but then who cares about that argument if we're both going to be dead by then?
I'm just saying.
The AI is going to use both
y'all's
voices.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? AIs might look like chickens.
AIs might look like
Maybe
chickens.
Maybe chickens are AI. Listen, we got to stop. Just saying, there's a part of your brain that's a little defective.
So. And I'm just saying, part of yours is too.
True.
And that's why we work well together.
That's true. I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Oh.
When's your show?
My solo show is called Cheat. It is Friday, December 12th at Ars Nova in New York City.
She's on Instagram?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I'm on all platforms at Chloe Badcliffe, like my last name, but bad. And
bad
all tickets are, yeah, as evidenced by most of this podcast. And tickets are available on my website, chloeradcliffe.com, or on all social platforms.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.